Welcome to the Pure Flix Podcast, a show brought to you by PureFlix.com. PureFlix.com, the faith, family, and fun video streaming service. Get ready for uplifting news, scripture, movie reviews, and interviews with some of your favorite actors, authors, and pastors. Let's get started.
Hey, what's going on? It's Billy Hollowell, and welcome to the Pure Flix Podcast. We drop this show every Monday at 5 a.m. Eastern Time, so you can listen to it on your way to work or whenever you want during the week. We also have a separate show. It's a secondary show on Fridays. It's really more of a devotional podcast, and right now it centers around The Encounter. That's an original drama series on PureFlix.com, but you don't have to be watching The Encounter to benefit from that devotional. If you head on over to PureFlix.com, you can watch the series. It's some pretty powerful stuff, but you can also listen to the podcast series and take away some important truths. That's every Friday. Head on over to our feed. You can listen to past episodes. And hey, we wouldn't mind having you drop a review of the show. If you're enjoying the show, let us know. You can head over to iTunes or other podcast platforms to, you know, rate the show. Let us know what you think. And please feel free, reach out. Let us know. You can, if you're on Anchor, you can actually leave a voicemail and let me know what you'd want to hear. I get those messages, interviews, maybe people you'd like to hear from, additional segments to the show. So we've got a lot to talk about today on this show. We're going to be having a conversation with Ken Harrison. If you don't know Ken, he's got a fascinating background. He used to be an LAPD police officer working in a tough neighborhood out in LA. He is now the chairman and CEO of Promise Keepers. If you remember Promise Keepers, fascinating organization and movement. Ken is talking about biblical manhood. What does it mean to be a man? What does the Bible tell us it means? And he has got an amazing Promise Keepers event coming up this summer. There's a lot to talk with him about, including his past experience as a cop. So right now, we're going to welcome Ken Harrison to the Pure Flix Podcast. Hey, Ken, how's it going today?
That's good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So you are the chairman of Promise Keepers. You're also the author of Rise of the Servant Kings. There's a lot to talk about today. I kind of want to start, and it's heavy, but it's so important. We see so many people struggling around the country. We see men and women struggling, but when it comes to men in particular, there's a lot of isolation, loneliness, depression, and it seems like all of this is increasing. You look at the suicide rate, all of it, all of these issues are increasing. Why? What is going on in culture?
Yeah, you know, an article just hit a couple days ago that the average life expectancy of an American is actually decreasing because the suicide rate amongst middle-aged white men is so high that it's actually affecting life expectancy over the board. That's how bad it's gotten. And I'll tell you, man, if you look at the history of the world, men and women had to come together in towns and interdependent communities to survive. You know, someone had to make the iron and someone had to make the horseshoe and someone had to raise the cows and on and on. Life was work. And men formed community by accomplishing things, doing things. They had to be together, whether they like each other or not. And with the Industrial Revolution and on the rise of technology, we no longer need each other. And so I think men are still trying to figure out, well, how do we do relationship? Because women do relationship by communicating and men do relationship by accomplishing. And that's why, you know, if guys get together, it always has to be around something, you know, we're going to go golfing or we're going to go to a football game. And so they have this sort of fake sense if they did something. And so I think as technology has risen more and more, and then the fatherless crisis, which we'll probably talk about in a bit, you don't have men ever really truly learning how to be men or how to learn how to do relationship. And that's why the guys that are most fulfilled are ex-cops like me or military guys, where they still have that interdependent feeling of accomplishing together. But guys who, you know, they go to work every day and they do their thing and they have massive pressure and they come home, there is an epidemic of the friendless American male, and it is literally killing us.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, the friendless American male. And what you think it's the busyness that drives a lot of that too? That you mentioned the disconnect in what we're doing on a day-to-day, but also just that there's a lot of running and moving and doing all the time.
Well, and expectations on what we're supposed to have that we put on ourselves. And it's just so sad. I mean, where is contentment and what is contentment? And how many guys are at their peak of contentment when they're fishing or riding their bike or whatever? And yet instead we continue to put ourselves in situations where we have rising debt, got to have the newest car, got to have this house, got to live in this neighborhood. That's exactly what Christ came to save us from, was, man, guys, life is beautiful and it's awesome. And if we concentrated on our relationship with our wife, if we concentrated on raising our kids, that's a sense of accomplishment. And stop listening to the world. You know, another problem that no one ever talks about is back in the 20s, there was a huge debate in the church about consumerism. We look at those old tin Coca-Cola things with nostalgia, but actually at the time, those were very controversial. Advertising and all the stuff that was going on. And the church was the one that was leading that fight, saying, we don't want to advertise things because it's going to lead people to be obsessed with buying things. And that's actually true, because when you think about what is advertising, the bottom line of it is it's there to create discontent, right? Your car sucks, you have to have this car. Or you're really hungry and you want this pizza. I mean, so we're barraged everywhere we turn, everywhere we go with, you're not happy, you need this to make you happy. And so we're running after and pursuing stuff that we don't even realize we're getting barraged with this message. And if we could just, man, I tell people all the time, you can tell the voice of the Holy Spirit from the voice of Satan by a couple of things. The Holy Spirit always brings humility, and he always brings a sense of peace. One of his favorite words is wait, just wait. And the devil always brings discontent. He always brings anxiousness, and he always glorifies self. And so when you get this thing, I've got to go do that now, or they're going to buy that house if I don't hurry up and buy that house, that, man, that's not the Lord. That's the devil. And you think about advertising, the entire scope of it is designed to prevent or to get anxiousness in you. You got to go do this. You got to buy this. You got to have this now. Man, if we turn off our TVs and look our kids in the eye and ask them what they're studying in school, that's where peace and contentment is.
Yeah, the addiction to a cell phone, too. I mean, I have it. I know we try to deal with it in our house. We try to make sure the kids are not, we have young kids, but that they're not, you know, falling prey to that. But part of that is just like what we're doing and being on a phone, communicating with people only digitally, like your point about not having friends. You know, when you're only communicating with people digitally, not even calling them, you know, typing things to people, and you assume you're friends with all these people who really are just social media followers, right? They're not your friends necessarily. So there's a lot of stuff happening right now. One of the things you brought up, though, another issue, fatherhood. And this, it's going to sound like a silly question, but I'm going to ask it because I think there are a lot of people who aren't necessarily understanding the value. But why is fatherhood so vital to a kid's life?
You know, I think this is just my musing. Motherhood is something that's much more consistent. You know, when a father leaves a family or walks out of a family, that's a, wow, that's terrible. But if a mother does it, it's somewhat shocking. You know, motherhood is so much more dependent. So we find that, because fatherhood is a bigger variable, a dad can have a much bigger effect on his kids. And there is such a vacuum left in men and women whose dads were jacked up or weren't there. And that's what I saw, you know, when I was a policeman in South Central Los Angeles. Most people would know that as Compton or Watts, the really high crime area. Basically, that was 95% really, really good people and 5% monsters who had been raised without dads, and they were gangsters and they were incredibly violent. And aggression, violence, sexual perversion ruled. And, you know, in my little division, 77th Division, it was 8 square miles. We averaged 180 murders a year. You think about it, that's 2 miles by 4 miles, 180 murders a year, that kind of violence. And it all came from fatherlessness.
Wow. That is, it's convicting, I think, also. You know, but there's also a lot of, as I'm thinking through everything you just said, and, you know, there's a lot of just of discussion around this issue. And I feel like it's sort of flippant, like, well, you don't need a father. You know, there's a lot of that. Like, I feel like we hear a lot of it. And I look at that and I look at, OK, if I'm a Christian and I believe that God created all of this and he had a system and he had a pattern and he gave all of us a mother and a father. You know, obviously there are circumstances where that are out of people's control, right, where you can't have a mother and a father. But that's the best circumstance for a kid, you know? And so do you feel that we're losing that, you know, sort of culturally, the value in that design?
Oh, sure. I mean, let's look at the basis of creation. When God describes creation, as soon as he says he made male and female, he created them in God's image. He then says the two will come together as one flesh. And so a one man and one woman together, which is intimacy in marriage, making them one flesh. That is the image of God. A fully feminine woman and a fully feminine man together show who God is, what his nature is. So when you rip one of those apart, you don't have an accurate depiction. And now it's never perfect because we're sinners, and Jesus came to save us from sin. But that is who we are. So society, of course, Satan's message is you don't need a man around because he wants to destroy the very image of God in us. It's always the same lie. It's just a different version of it. That's where chauvinism came from, where, you know, 50 years ago, men were the rulers and the women were supposed to be subjugated, and the man's role was the only one that mattered. Now he's just saying the woman's role is the only one that matters. It's all a lie. If we came together in humility, if we fought for our marriages no matter what, and we raised our kids, man, our society would be so much different.
That's really an interesting point, too, about the way things were before, because we don't always talk about that, and the way they are now,
right.
and that pendulum swing, because it really has. I mean, it's kind of fascinating to have that conversation. Let's talk a little bit about Promise Keepers. What is it that your organization does?
So for those who are over 40, they'll remember the 90s was this amazing time. 7 million men went to NFL stadiums. We had, in 1 year, 22 NFL stadiums sold out with guys who just came together for a Friday evening and a Saturday to worship the Lord. And guys will say the feeling of hearing 80,000 men singing Amazing Grace or A Mighty Fortress Is Our God or these things. I've had so many guys, literally hundreds in tears, tell me, oh, the power of that. And I think it's the power of worshiping the Lord that way, but I also think it's a feeling for men, oh, I'm not alone. And the Promise Keepers went away with the 90s pretty much, and now it's coming back because it's needed more than ever. And so we will have our first meeting back at Dallas Cowboy Stadium on July 31st and August 1st of 2020. And that's a very key date. We didn't choose it this way. It just happens to have worked out that it is right between the Democrat and Republican National Convention. And I'm telling you, you look at the state of our country, and the Democrats are going to come together and they're going to have their thing on what they're going to do. And the Republicans are going to have their thing about what they're going to do. And neither one are going to have the answers. But when 80,000 guys get together at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, we're going to talk about the problem with our country is spiritual, not political. And when men humble themselves and pray and start serving their wives and their families and start leading in humility and courage, that is what will change our country. When we start to actively take on this epidemic of fatherless boys by men coming together in teams, which Promise Keepers is going to do along with the church, and the teams of men mentor fatherless boys and say, hey, go to a woman who's struggling and saying, can we be the men that mentor your son who doesn't have a man? Can we be the ones that go to his ball games? Can we teach him how to shave? Can we be the ones that teach him scripture? Can we be the ones that teach him how to tie a tie and to do a job interview? And all those things that a boy with a good dad takes for granted, that a boy without a dad struggles his whole life for. Imagine how quickly we could change this country. Imagine how those single moms would see Christian men, and how those young men will grow up differently because they knew they had a group of men who loved them in the name of Christ. So that's going to be Promise Keepers, July 31st.
That's powerful. That's amazing. And what a time, right? I mean, like you were saying, this is a time where this is exactly what we need. And it's coming right before what will probably be one of the ugliest, dirtiest election seasons that we've experienced. So I think, we're seeing hints of that. I think it's going to be bad. So no matter where people are on and all of that, push it aside and deal with the real issues, because these are the real issues that are affecting us. And I think it's so easy to get distracted by, not that the other things don't matter, but it's so easy to get distracted by the symptoms of broader problems and not confront the actual problem. And that's what it sounds like you guys are doing. And so you also have a book that came out this year, Rise of the Servant Kings. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I actually wrote the draft of that before I took over Promise Keepers. It was such a thing from the Lord. It's so awesome when we're walking in his will to watch him bring things together. And Rise of the Servant Kings is a very blunt book about how to be a man. And basically, it's a book on discipleship. I actually get tons of letters from women saying, I've read your book, and I know it's for men, but I really loved it. And each chapter is short, and it starts off with a pretty gripping LAPD story from my experiences there. And that goes into real basic truths about faith, about humility, about marriage, And the publisher loved the book and came to me and said, you know, during the editing process, we feel like we should put a warning label on this book because, you know, Christian books aren't written this way. This is pretty blunt and the stories are pretty in your face. And I said, yeah, it's written for men. And men aren't reading these days. And we need to have books that will grip them, that will capture their attention, that are real and raw. And this is what this is. It's complete scripture. It is completely the teaching of the Lord. I tried to do everything I could to take any opinion of mine out of it, but tie in my experiences on the streets of LA and in business to actual biblical truths so that we could make a book that men would grab and go, man, this will change my life.
Yeah, that's incredible. I feel like sometimes as Christians, we are just so afraid to be real. It's like everything has to be like fluffy and feel good. Like, that's not life. I mean, read the Bible. Like there are parts of the Bible, even when I'm reading my kids the kids' Bible, I'm like, I can't even say this to them because they're not going to understand it. Like when it comes to murder and stuff, sometimes I soften it because I'm like, my 4-year-old, my 7-year-old, they're not going to understand that, right? And so but when you're speaking to adults, you know, who have experienced life, we're Christians. We know there are people who were porn stars who left porn and became Christians. There are people who have done horrific things. How do you tell those stories without addressing the real life things that happened in a tasteful, you know, Christian way? But like, I just feel like we're so often afraid to do that. So I admire the bluntness of reality and putting that in your book. I think that's really important.
Man, I mean, let's be real. We have 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds looking at porn all
yeah.
the time.
Yep.
So, I mean, I didn't even, when I was 10, have any idea what any of that looked like. And it's horrific what's happening. And I just heard a speaker talking the other day that they've done a study on erectile dysfunction for decades and decades. And the rate of dysfunction in a 20-something-year-old is 2%. Erectile dysfunction, 2%. And it's been that way from the beginning of the studies until 2016, when they did it again, and it's 28%.
Wow.
28%. That's a, what is that, 14,000% increase or 100% increase. And they've got a new term for it. It's called pornography-induced erectile dysfunction. Because guys, by the time they're in their 20s, have looked at that stuff for so long that normal intimacy isn't even affecting them. 1 out of 3. So we have to start being real with each other and talking about real problems. And the answers are in Scripture. Jesus Christ was tortured to death for us. And we get something wrong. We talk about the cross, and you know, you've probably heard a million sermons like I have about all the pain, and Romans did this, Romans did that. I don't think that any of that meant anything to Christ. When you think about the fact that he took every sin of every human who ever lived on himself, you think about the worst you've ever felt, the worst thing you ever did, the most guilt you ever felt, even as a kid, when the most shame you ever felt, and you multiply that by every human ever, and you throw in a Hitler and a Genghis Khan, and all that went on to Jesus, and the moment that happened, God turned his back on him, and Jesus screamed out, Daddy, where'd you go? My God, why have you forsaken me? And then he immediately died. That's what he took on himself. That's the grace he showed for our sin. And every person who's listening to this, if they will believe in Jesus Christ and repent of their sins, his grace will take away all those sins. But we preach a cheap grace these days. He gave so much for us, and he asked us for, it's a free gift. It's just going to cost you everything. And if we gave up everything, that's where the joy and the power of Holy Spirit, the Christian life is. And so many Christians, man, I get so many letters and phone calls and meetings where people say, I don't have the joy of the Christian life. I don't have the power. It's because they don't want to walk away from their sin. And Jesus said, you want this kind of power? It's not salvation because that's free, but you want the real joy of the Lord? Pick up your cross daily, die to yourself, and follow me. And when you do that, that's when you have wisdom and joy and things that fall into your life and peace comes into your life. But when we hold on to our sin, we hold on to our rights to ourselves, when we don't know Scripture and we start arguing with God, that's where we find our lives full of all this angst and anxiousness. Again, we've allowed the voice of Satan to go right into our ears, and it's causing dysfunction in our families. And we at Promise Keepers, we've got to call men back to leading their families through God's word in humility. And that's what we're going to do next summer.
That's incredible. I love that. And you've mentioned, and I know from your background, You were a police officer, so you worked in, I mean, you worked in a really interesting field, and especially, I think since 2014, law enforcement and the perception that people have of law enforcement and the issues, there's been a lot of discussion around that, and it sounds like you worked in a really tough neighborhood where you experienced and saw some of the things we're talking about, but I would imagine a lot of other things. What would you say is the biggest lesson you took away as a Christian who worked in law enforcement from that experience?
Man, that is a really good question.
It popped in my head as we're talking. I know it's such a, there's so many elements to it, but I think your perspective is so unique, having come from the worldview you come from, being in that role in that neighborhood.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, and having had a lot of years to reflect, I would say the power of sin, because I saw it for real. And we tend to sweep it under the rug and we say, well, I'm struggling in this issue of my life, which really means I'm sitting and I don't want to give it up. And I tell another story about holding a young girl in my arms while she died in a traffic accident. It's a horrific story. And I tell you what, when you look into the eyes of somebody as they die and see their soul leave them, that will affect you for the rest of your life. And I talk about a monster of a father who was sexually abusing his daughter. And then we had to go because we found out that his 2-year-old son was in his custody. We had to kick the door down. And my partner tried to kill him because we saw him sexually abusing his 2-year-old son. And my partner, I ended up in a fist fight wrestling over his gun to keep my partner from executing the man. And so, you know, it's real stuff. And when you're a cop at that level and you see that kind of violence, you see what sexual perversion and what pride and what anger does. And I often say when I preach, because I really preach against pornography because it's destroying our country, that I saw sexual perversion either makes cowards or angry, violent men out of people. It never leaves a man unstained. And so for us, if we really Christ is the answer, but you talk about the symptoms. The number one symptom we've got to eliminate is pornography. We've got to get, because we will never get rid of this toxic masculinity nonsense until we get rid of pornography.
Yeah, no, it's a huge epidemic, and I feel like people are starting to wake up to it, but there's a lot of blindness to it still too, because culture normalizes it, right? I mean, that's the issue you have. You have this normalization of something. You know, we have that across the board right now, and so I guess the solution is what you're doing, though, what Promise Keepers is doing, getting people together, equipping people, first inspiring people, getting us all to refocus, going deep in our faith, going out there and addressing this stuff, because that's what we're called to do. It doesn't matter how hard it is to do it. It doesn't matter how chaotic culture is. That's what we need to be doing. So I commend you and Promise Keepers and what you've done with your book, Rise of the Servant Kings. I think it's powerful and important.
Thank you, man. I'll tell people, PromiseKeepers.org is the website. The speakers just got put up there 2 days ago, or the first 6 speakers. It will be an awesome time. And we're going to bring guys together in relationship. This thing will be an amazing event. Guys who went to Promise Keepers in the 90s, they still talk about it. The amazing feeling they had, the mountaintop moment. But we've got to capture that mountaintop moment into discipleship and relationship. And so I would say there's a lot of people here, a lot of people going, well, man, I live in Iowa, or I live in Boston, and then that thing's in Texas. And by the way, they'll be once a year, always the last weekend of July, and we will be simulcasting them to churches or across the country as well. So if you're thinking, I'd really like to be there, I don't know if I have the money, you'll be able to have a simulcast in a local church that you can go to watch this as well. It won't be the same as being with 80,000 guys, but it'll still be pretty powerful.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate you having me. Appreciate it.
We'll be right back with more of the Pure Flix podcast. Did you know you can access thousands of entertaining and inspiring faith and family-friendly TV shows, movies, and original series? It's simple. Just log on to pureflix.com right now to start your free 1-month trial. From kids' content to some of the most uplifting films, we've got your entire family covered. Sign up today. And we're back with more of the Pure Flix podcast.
And we're back with more of the Pure Flix podcast. So I mentioned at the top of the show that we have another podcast segment that comes out on Fridays. It's the Encounter Devotional Podcast. Now, I want to actually play that devotion for you. If you missed the show on Friday, you're going to have a chance to hear that at the end of today's show. But before we get into that, I wanted to point you guys over to the Pure Flix Insider blog. I often mention the blog. It's where I write daily content. We have Bible verse lists. We have news stories. We have interviews and so much more. We cover lifestyle, prayer and faith, movies, news, education. There's a lot going on over at insider.pureflix.com. One of the stories, and I just wanted to point it out because I think it's fascinating, Dolly Parton and For King and Country, I don't know if you're For King and Country fans, but they actually came up with a remix of the song God Only Knows. This was a popular song that For King and Country put out last year. So Dolly Parton came together with them. They put this music video out in a new version of the song last year. I think it was in the fall, and it was great. It was a great song. My 7-year-old loves the song. And what's really interesting is the song won a Grammy, and we got the write-up over at insider.pureflix.com. You can watch the video, hear the song, and read a little bit about what For King and Country had to say when they accepted their Grammy. We got a lot of other news and information over on insider.pureflix.com. There's also a great story from Greg Laurie talking about really the wake of Kobe Bryant's death, what Kobe Bryant's death teaches us all. So check that all out over at insider.pureflix.com. Now we're going to close the show out here with this really, really important devotion. Now, this is a devotional that we're putting together every week. Again, it airs on Fridays. If you're subscribed to the Pure Flix podcast, you're going to get it. But we wanted to throw episode 2 of this devotional into this podcast just in case you missed it. And really, it's a devotional that gets us thinking about our prayers. You know, a lot of times we feel like God is ignoring our prayers. And maybe when we feel that way, we might be missing some important truths. So I'm going to roll for you right now the Encounter Devotional Part 2. Today we are diving into the second edition of our special devotional podcast centered on PureFlix.com's The Encounter series. Season 2 is streaming right now over on PureFlix. You can check that out. But what we want to do is dive into some of the themes that we see in that episode, things that even if you're not watching the show, you can take away, important truths we can find in Scripture. So let's dive right in. Our wants and our desires can sometimes cloud our judgment, and that's something that I have experienced in my life. The things that I want to do, the places I want to go, sometimes we get so consumed with those things that we start to place all of our confidence, all of our faith in those things and not in God, and that can really lead us to miss blessings and answers to our prayers that are actually right in front of us, right? Other times we might find ourselves questioning why God has allowed something to happen or hasn't allowed something to happen in our lives. So we see these themes unfolding in Episode 2 of The Encounter. We meet this woman named Lily. She's played by actress Michelle Gomez, and Lily finds herself in a total crisis. She ends up getting stood up by the groom on her wedding day, and so it's a pretty horrific thing to happen to somebody. And as we watch Lily's journey of frustration and disappointment unfold, we can take away some powerful lessons. So let's dive in to the first lesson. Sometimes we totally miss answered prayers. So what do I mean by this? I'm going to read a quote, and this is a quote from the series. I think it's pretty powerful and pertinent. And that quote goes as follows. Sometimes we don't see the answers to our prayers, even though they're right in front of our eyes. And that's something that is so true. It's so easy to be intent on what we want that we never actually stop and say, God, what's your will for our lives? What do you want for our lives? Instead, we sometimes pray fervently only for what we want, and we pine for that end result, the thing that we want to see happen in our lives. And it's all based on our own will. So what's the problem with that? Well, sometimes we want things that are not the best for us, and God knows that. So he might actually lead us somewhere else to a place that's actually better for us. And in the moment, we might not realize that that is going on. We might not realize that even though we're not where we want to be, we are where we're supposed to be. And so that can be a tough pill to swallow, and we assume that maybe God's not listening to us when in fact he is. And if you look at 1 John 5:14, that verse tells us, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So we want to start praying in that way, that we're actually praying for God's will in our lives. And then our will needs to align with that, not praying for just our will and never asking what God's is. So that brings us to our second main lesson that you could take away here, and that's that our worst day could actually be our best day. There's this old quote from Chuck Swindoll. You've probably heard it, and it goes as follows. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. And there's a lot of truth to this statement. You know, we tend to think it's the other way around, right? That everything is what's happening to us and just 10% is sort of our reaction to it. But the reality is we can have joy even in the most difficult times in our lives. If we are aligned with Christ and if we get power from God to get through things, we can get through anything, right? So it really is how we're reacting. The bulk of our lives really depends on how we react to the things that unfold in front of us. Now, it's understandable why Lily is so heartbroken that her wedding has fallen through, right? The groom has left her. It's embarrassing. But when you go back to that truth that life is 90% how you react to things and 10% what you go through, you can see that play out in her story. And we can see that play out in our lives as well, right? We have a choice to find joy even when we're experiencing pain. If you look at Romans 8:28, it reads, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And so we've got to cling to that joy and that hope, and we can find that only in Christ. Now, the third lesson, God doesn't ignore our prayers. This kind of goes back to our first point, but it's an important thing to drive home because it can feel like God is ignoring us sometimes. You know, we many times want what we want and we want it right now. And we're like, God, why aren't you hearing us? Why aren't you listening? And when life doesn't turn out the way we want it to, we can know that he's there to actually help us pick up the pieces. Psalm 147:3 reads, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." And it's such a simple scripture, but it's something that I think a lot of people listening, you may need this, right? I know I needed this truth when I read it this morning, that he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So many of us have wounds. We have things we're dealing with, and life ebbs and flows. These things come, they go. There's joy, there's pain. But no matter what, God is there to help us bind up our wounds. And that is an important and powerful reminder no matter what you are facing today. So no matter what's going on in your life, the struggles, the hardships, the pains, you can turn to Jesus, seek his face, and he will help you journey through. You can find out more about Lily's story and how it unfolds by watching season 2, episode 2 of The Encounter, streaming right now on PureFlix.com. You can check this show out in thousands of other movies and TV shows, original series, documentaries with your free PureFlix.com trial. Head over to PureFlix.com today and tune in on Monday for a regular episode of the PureFlix podcast and next Friday for episode 3 of our special devotional. Thanks for tuning in.
That's all for today's podcast. You can follow PureFlix on Facebook at facebook.com/PureFlix. And on Twitter at PureFlix. And be sure to log on today to PureFlix.com for your free month of access to thousands of faith and family-friendly movies and TV shows. Thanks for listening to the PureFlix Podcast.